I want to begin this portion of our worship this morning with a story that a colleague of mine has shared, the Reverend Scott Alexander. He has written in a previous sermon of his of a friend of his who traces her family roots back to the 17th century French Huguenots, a Protestant Reformation sect whose members, like those of so many other religious minorities of the time, were mercilessly persecuted by the established church. They were finally forced, those who had not already been killed, to flee France altogether. And the story of their escape, which has been orally passed down in this friend's family through the generations since, is that her ancestors were jammed into tiny boats and forced to row across the choppy and treacherous channel to safety in England. Alexander writes, as they began to row for their lives, it became painfully clear that there were just too many people in the small craft. Unless something was done, the boat would quickly swamp and all would perish in the cold waves. What did the group do? Draw lots and throw the losers over? Set upon the defenseless sick, young and elderly, and toss them to a watery death? Decide who were the least productive members of the community and force them out of the boat, perhaps? I suppose they could have decided on any of these quote-unquote rational courses of action, he says, but these Huguenots did something else. The people in the boat decided they would take turns, several at a time, swimming alongside the craft. For the many hours of the crossing, as swimmers tired, others would quietly, willingly take their place into the numbing waters. And thus it was that the small boat and everyone who had sought refuge in it survived the treacherous crossing. As many of you know, I write up my sermon topics and blurbs weeks and weeks in advance to the actual Sunday in which it is written and delivered. A good practice, mostly. Except on Sundays like this one, when I have promised to lead us in a conversation on exhaustion, and when I have spent many days this week on Long Island saying goodbye to my grandfather, the negotiation of work and family, of grief and to-do lists, of rush hour and bedtimes. The universe knew, as they say, that this would be the day to talk of exhaustion. I imagine, though, or I really should say, I know, that I am not the only one for whom this topic may touch a little too close to home. There is something about the image of a boat of people, however long ago, however distant their lives are from ours today, that sings in the cavity of my heart, picturing each lowering oneself into the waters, fingers gripping that thick boat's edge, chin slightly above the water while the body is below, kicking, pedaling, wondering if against the waves their effort moves them forward at all. And then, having given it as much as a body can give, having mixed the salt of tears with the salt of seawater, it is someone else's turn. A turn you don't wish on your brethren, of course, but a moment all the same to breathe a bit more fully, to take the weight of everyone else's safety off of your shoulders, to be held and moved by another. It is a brief moment of salvation, even as the journey toward safety continues. Yes, there is something about that image that feels familiar. I'm aware that so many of our parents have gone off to their classes, but does it feel familiar to you too? Something about the swimmer's reprieve that I know so many of us here ache for. Parent or child caring for their parent, work life and hard relationships. Maybe it is exhaustion you can't even name, whose source runs deep and has always lived with you like a shadow that shows itself at certain times of the day, or like the moon rising and falling like clockwork through the seasons. In this month of wondering what it means to be a people of healing, today we turn our attention to the pain, the brokenness, the exhaustion caused by exhaustion. We do so because we cannot only reflect on the anger and despair in the world as we did a few weeks ago, or later this month on All Souls Sunday, only remember loved ones who have passed. Healing is not just for the sudden loss or the dramatic ruptures or the devastating diagnosis, but also for the slow creeping of depletion, for our inability to rest or replenish. Healing must also be for those of us who believe we are, or who are, the only ones who can steer the ship, or swim the lap, or can bring the rest ashore. Now, before I say too much more, let me acknowledge that a couple of years ago, I preached a sermon on busyness. And some of you may remember that the response to this sermon was quite large. I believe there's somebody here who told me sarcastically that she hated me after that sermon. It was as if I had broken an unspoken covenant. I wasn't to name the thing we couldn't escape from. Like busyness, exhaustion in its most dapper attire can be a label of pride. And maybe there's a bird who feels the need to be with us too. So much work can seem like so much purpose. So many activities means the kids are already successful and up all night thinking about the wounds of the world. But on the other end of the spectrum, in its most tattered and worn, exhaustion can be the thing that the Hebrew Bible called Gehenna, the real place in which garbage was burned and children were sacrificed, the place of human suffering and the life for which we could have been grateful is rejected or burned away. We aren't allowed to speak of either of those extremes, of course, not the one that would question or deny our very sound and honest intentions, and certainly not the one that teeters on a form of mental dishealth. And yet, so many of us are cradling the depletion like a heritage we didn't ask for but wouldn't know who we are without it. We have become a people of bone-tired and tuned out or turned off. When did this level of fatigue become acceptable? And what is our faithful response to treading the waters of our days? In your orders of service, there is a poem, and it's written out on the blue paper. It's a poem by a poet and priest named John O'Donohue, who I know many of us here love. I'm going to ask that you take that out. And if you don't have a copy, you can cuddle up to somebody. I am going to read through this poem twice this morning. It's a bit long, but there isn't a line I would cut. The first time, I invite you to listen as I read it and read along, watch the words as I go. Hold on to the words that ring true for you, but continue traveling through it with me. And then we're going to have just a few moments of silence, and then I'll begin again. During that time of silence, I want you to put that piece of paper away. I don't want you to look at it again for that second time. I just want you to be present to the way your heart beats, how your breath quickens or slows. Just listen to that still, small voice that echoes within. When the rhythm of the heart becomes hectic, time takes on the strain until it breaks. Then all the unattended stress falls in on the mind like an endless, increasing weight. The light in the mind becomes dim. Things you could take in your stride before now become laborsome events of will. Weariness invades your spirit. Gravity begins falling inside you, dragging down every bone. The tide you never valued has gone out, and you are marooned on unsure ground. Something within you has closed down, and you cannot push yourself back to life. You have been forced to enter empty time. The desire that drove you has relinquished. There is nothing else to do now but rest and patiently learn to receive the self you have forsaken for the race of days. At first, your thinking will darken and sadness take over like listless weather. The flow of unwept tears will frighten you. You have traveled too fast over false ground. Now your soul has come to take you back. Take refuge in your senses. Open up to all the small miracles you rushed through. Become inclined to watch the way of rain when it falls slow and free. Imitate the habit of twilight, taking time to open the well of color that fostered the brightness of day. Draw alongside the silence of stone until its calmness can claim you. Be excessively gentle with yourself. Stay clear of those vexed in spirit. Learn to linger around someone of ease who feels they have all the time in the world. Gradually, you will return to yourself, having learned a new respect for your heart and the joy that dwells far within slow time. Take a deep breath. When the rhythm of the heart becomes hectic, time takes on the strain until it breaks. Then all the unattended stress falls in on the mind like an endless, increasing weight. The light in the mind becomes dim. Things you could take in your stride before now become laborsome events of will. Weariness invades your spirit. Gravity begins falling inside you, dragging down every bone. The tide you never valued has gone out, and you are marooned on unsure ground. Something within you has closed down, and you cannot push yourself back to life. You have been forced to enter empty time. The desire that drove you has relinquished. There is nothing else to do now but rest and patiently learn to receive the self you have forsaken for the race of days. At first, your thinking will darken and sadness take over like listless weather. The flow of unwept tears will frighten you. You have traveled too fast over false ground. Now your soul has come to take you back. Take refuge in your senses. Open up to all the small miracles you rushed through. Become inclined to watch the way of rain when it falls slow and free. Imitate the habit of twilight, taking time to open the well of color that fostered the brightness of day. Draw alongside the silence of stone until its calmness can claim you. Be excessively gentle with yourself. Stay clear of those vexed in spirit. Learn to linger around someone of ease who feels they have all the time in the world. Gradually, you will return to yourself, having learned a new respect for your heart and the joy that dwells far within slow time. I invite you back into this space and into this moment. There will be times in which we must dip our bodies into the rushing waters, for others as well as for ourselves. But in the seasons, in these seasons, I pray we treat the exhausted body and spirit as real as a broken limb. To-do lists may linger. Things will be left undone. Beloveds may feel disappointed. And we ourselves may wonder who we are without the measure of our success shining so clearly. And yet the color and brightness of the day, the very life of life, is what is at stake. The ability to claim ourselves with joy, respect, and the knowledge that we have been present to our too far, too limited days. Let us not hesitate to take our turn in the lifeboat of rest and replenishing. Or at the very least, may we be curious about the soul who knocks from the corners of our hearts, wanting to take us back. What would it say? What would it sing? For what would it cry? And what does it need to grow, to live, to stay awake in this rushing, busy, competing life? In moments of great depletion, may we be called back to the places, people, time, and versions of ourselves that we have long since departed. And until then, a prayer for swimmies and life vests and bodies that lower themselves into the waters to help us all in our journey to land. May it be so, and blessed be.